May God's word only be spoken and God's word only be heard. Amen. Please be seated. I asked him why he punished himself so much. Each morning and each night, just to pray. Because prayer is a conversation with God, and Jesus taught me how to communicate, was my grandfather's reply. We called him Papaw. And oh yes, he replied that as he slowly rose up from praying on his knees. My grandfather was a survivor of the Depression, and in the 1970s, he was in his 70s. He suffered from bad knees, high blood pressure, deafness, and a botched gallbladder surgery that made him look like he had swallowed a basketball. And he was the wisest person I knew. He prayed on his knees on hardwood floors every morning and night, which seemed like to me for hours. To a boy of 8 or 9, I had to hold back tears. It must have been agony for him to stay on his knees and then to be able to get up. His answer to my question was too simple. I expected more from a man who read the dictionary for fun. I asked him, "Who taught you to pray?" "Jesus," he said. Today's gospel is a blueprint on how to pray. Jesus shows us prayer is an activity. It's an attitude, a way of being. It's not just a speech full of fancy big words uttered to garner favor or to impress. Jesus' story about the persistent neighbor shows us to be determined in our prayers, like Papaw was determined, focused, and expecting to be heard. Jesus says, ask, not like the irritating neighbor banging on the door after midnight. We are to ask, depending on God, because we believe God cares for us, is attentive, and will answer us. God is eager to meet our needs and grant our requests. God looks at us like we look at a child, with unconditional love. Oh, and unconditional forgiveness too. This is the type of relationship open to us if we embrace it. That's hard to understand, that we grow in our relationship with God by yielding to God's will instead of trying to earn our way to God's favor. I mean, after all, isn't that how it works? Isn't that how we network? Or how we did in school? To get better, you have to be better. And bringing an apple or something else to the teacher kind of helps sometimes. Not in my case, it didn't. But you know, prayer is not a performance. It is the way to the house of the holy. I'm a recovering doer. By that, I mean, I struggle with just being with God. Being to me means I don't have to constantly do something, or I don't have to constantly be busy. And I don't have to know everything to embrace peace, that peace that passes all understanding. Prayer is a way of being. It's a constant attitude, a way of thinking, breathing, and abiding in God's presence. This past week, I remembered my grandfather's words to me and his prayer sessions, and it helped me enormously. "Look at your hand," I remember him saying. "It has 5 fingers. When you pray, think of the word look. And pray looking in 5 directions. I'm not going to count them off, but you can figure it out. Looking at God, looking inside yourself, looking at others around you, looking at the past and into the future. I gave him a blank stare, and an audible "what?" came out. He didn't laugh. He didn't get on to me. He calmly explained, "We look at God as we worship and praise God, and to give God the glory God is due. Looking at God stops us from thinking about other things, mostly ourselves. Use the first part of the Lord's Prayer as a guide. It focuses on honoring Jesus as Father, spreading his kingdom, and doing God's will. Only then are we to ask what we want or what we think we need. Next, when you look inside yourself," he said, "confession comes naturally." Not to me, I thought. Confession is when you get caught. And he continued, "When we focus our prayer on the inside of ourselves, it's like a magnifying glass focusing on burning an unsightly weed, squeezing up through the bricks in the walkway." He told me to begin each day with a prayer. That way it would help me meet the day focused and with Jesus in my mind and in my heart. He said to review the day and my shortcomings at night. This reflective exercise will humble me and encourage me to depend on God and not myself. When looking onto others, he said, constantly pray for them as Jesus prayed for both his disciples and his enemies. When you do this, you see a world full of opportunities. The clouds will part for you to see God in all of humanity. Looking into the past prompts you to thank God for your blessings, known and unknown. He urged me to remember the good things I've seen, experienced, and done each day, and be thankful. This will keep me from dwelling on my shortcomings or remembering everything I do This will keep me from dwelling on my shortcomings and have me thinking from a position of abundance, not scarcity, and to rely more on God. Looking into the future is where I spend most of my prayer time, he said. It's not that I'm afraid or ashamed of asking God to be prepared for the future things that happen in my life, but I ask stuff that I don't need. But what about ask, seek, and knock? I had heard in Sunday school, and I remembered to score points. He smiled. Give prayer a chance. You'll be amazed by the results. Does prayer work? I asked. Yes, it has so far, he smiled. How can you tell? I asked, remembering all of his bodily ailments and afflictions. I'm still able to get up off my knees when I've finished praying, he replied. Each day I pray the Lord's Prayer twice, in the morning and in the evening, and I remember my grandfather's words to me, and I thank God for him and his teachings. Often when I'm tired or feeling helpless, or when I can't hear God, which is often, I do hear something very faint. I can rise from my knees. I don't know whether this is my grandfather saying this, or it could be Jesus. Amen.